Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while. That's cute.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The impress, press on falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours, and that's fine because thanks to Impress you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles, and the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press-on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress, that's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles, and then use our code Los Angeles at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press-on falsies. Sarah, do you shower with the light on?
Yeah, I do, because I'm a night showerer these days. Unless I am working out, you know, in the morning, and then I'll shower after that.
How do you have time to work out?
I've really been trying to squeeze it in. I've been doing like 20-minute increments. My goal is like 3 times a week. 20, 30-minute increments.
You need to be mentally evaluated. Okay.
Oh my God, wait, no. Can I just say, this is not an ad, obviously, but we have a Peloton treadmill, and they have this new like gamified running game called Lane Breaker, and it's actually really fun.
Okay, well, I'll do that on the treadmill sometime when I decide to go back to the gym. So on Threads, someone goes, main bathroom light on during a nighttime shower? Never. Where are my fellow shower vampires at? And this completely intrigued me. So then one of my favorite follows, Kogi, who does like astrology stuff, she's like, agree.
Do you have a candle on? Is that what helps you see in the shower?
This is the question that I had. So then people are going, or an early morning, no artificial light, a small crack open on the window shade to let a sliver of light in. I'm like, what? And then someone goes, we just bought this little waterproof shower lamp. It's so perfect. And then someone goes, candle or darkness. And then someone says, I have 2 dimmer lights in my bathroom and I turn on just one to the lowest light possible. Someone uses a Himalayan salt lamp that plugs in near the sink and that's all they'll turn on. And someone's like, main bathroom light? Never. I'm like, how are y'all seeing? Like, my bathroom is literally a cave and I don't have a dimmer switch. And I also, it's either that or like the heater light.
How do you see what parts of your body you're washing and also like what product you're grabbing? And then also, if you've washed all of the soap off your body, I guess it's by feel. I don't know. For me, I understand like showering with a candle. And then if it's at night too, like you don't want to like turn on like too many lights because then it like could mess with your circadian rhythm or whatever. Is that right? Like if you're trying to get ready for bed.
But then how are you seeing? This has never, ever crossed my mind. Like I've never been like, okay, complete darkness for showering. Like that has never been a thing.
I couldn't. I'm going to drop something on my toe.
I'm scared. Like, is someone to come in and like grab me like a monster? I don't know. I'm too scared for that stuff. Like, I want to be able to visually see. Your eyes are closed when you're lathering your hair. I don't need to like feel like someone's coming in and I can't see what's going on.
Yeah. Monsters, ghosts, intruders.
I understand like mood lighting. Trust me.
Mood lighting. Yes.
I'm the mood lighting queen. Like, sign me up. We have the Philips mood lights. We turn them different colors depending on what we're watching. We have like the warm light for at night and like the brighter light during the day. So having like a Himalayan salt lamp, fine, whatever. But like being in complete darkness is...
That's a hazard.
I am scared for these people. What is going on? This person said there are no lights on when I shower ever. Ever. And that makes me wonder, so is it completely pitch black dark or do you have windows in your shower? I do not have windows in my shower.
I have a window, but I still need at least some dim lighting. I cannot shower in darkness.
If you are showering in darkness, call the hotline. Like, I need to interview you. I need to know everything about you.
Make your case. Why should we be showering in pitch black darkness?
Are you a triple Scorpio? Tell me the answers. I need to know literally every single thing about you to understand why you're doing that.
How do you know what you're grabbing? How do you know that?
How are you just not scared? I would be petrified. Petrified. I'm a scaredy cat. I would be petrified.
No, I am also a scaredy cat. So that's very real to me as well.
Which is a little ironic considering I love going to haunted houses.
Yeah, you're a masochist.
So Sarah is wearing glasses. Sarah's also a masochist based on what she's about to tell y'all, because this is insane.
No, I'm a masochist for surviving wearing daily contact lenses for majority of my life. When I think about how long I've been wearing contact lenses, it's actually insane. Since middle school, I have been wearing contact lenses.
You've been sticking your finger in your eye this whole time?
And I'm so comfortable with sticking my finger in my eye at this point. Like, I'm in there. And then, like, after college, when I, like, made a little bit more money, I started wearing dailies because they're a little bit more expensive. But I would just get, like, such dry eyes that the dailies are thinner. So it was, like, better for my eye health and all that. I'm still, like, just so tired of it all. And right before I found out I was pregnant with Cade, I was this close to getting, there's LASIK, and then there's another surgery procedure called PRK, and that one's a little bit more intense, but that one is if your cornea is, like, a little on the thinner side, which mine is, and I was really scared. Christine Doan, who's Gloss House, she's an incredible nail artist, she has had PRK, and she told me that she felt like she had sand in her eyes for like a week during the recovery period. So that was really scary to me. But I was so close to getting it done. And then right when I was doing my final testing is when I found out I was pregnant with Cade. And unfortunately, you cannot get any procedure done when you're pregnant because you have to be put on like pain medication that's like too strong. And then also, I guess your eye changes, like eye shape changes, just like a lot of different parts of your body when you're pregnant. So Dr. Wu, who I see at Laser Eye Care Center in downtown, she was like, come back to me after you had your baby, after you're done breastfeeding, and we'll like figure out what to do. Then I was targeted with some ads from Joe Jonas.
This fucking guy.
Because he's like literally the ambassador for everything. And then now he's the ambassador for something called Evo ICL. And it's like implantable collamer contact lenses. So these lenses are made from collagen, essentially. And instead of like lasering off the front of your cornea, which is what LASIK and PRK does, they make a tiny incision and they insert this contact lens behind the iris, so behind the color part of your eye, and it corrects your vision. And so I was like, that sounds great to me. It sounds a little scary, but it sounds great to me. And apparently it's like less invasive because they're not burning anything off. So like some side effects from people who get LASIK and PRK is that if you have dry eyes, like it can make your eyes even more dry. Mm. And then as you approach 40, this is also true actually for Evo ICL, but as you approach 40, you're like, what is it? Nearsighted vision goes. So then we need readers. you still have to wear glasses, all these things. So my eye doctor outside, Dr. Wu, said that Evo ICL has been around forever. It's like really popular in Asia and Europe, and people have been doing it because if, let's say, your eye changes, you can like replace the contact lens that's inside your eye. So long story short, that's what I'm doing. And I need to be out of my contact lenses for at least 10 days before I get my final eye measurements. So not only that, I can't have my lash extensions. So I feel like a little monster right now, a little nerd with my lack of eyelash extensions and my glasses, although I have been using the Falsicara and I'm a fan.
I'm telling you, I am not a straight Falsicara girl, but I do love their Bond the best. Their Bond is the best one.
Why do you think? Tell me why.
So the Bond is sticky enough to grab the lashes and hook it the way you need to.
Yeah.
By the way, what we're talking about is Falsicara are lashes that are applied underneath your eyelashes instead of on top.
Which are made famous by Lashify. Like this whole system was developed by Lashify, but now obviously there are copycats and Kirby prefers the Falsicara, which I have been playing with.
Lashify makes beautiful underlashes and like they were the OG. However, they are expensive. And I felt that I had to be a little too precious with them with these because they're so cheap. It's like if I do F1 up, I don't mind. I literally every single time I go to Target or CVS, pick up a new pair of these lashes. And the Bond from Falsicara to me is supreme. I use the black one. This little guy has the teeniest, tiniest little wand that's curved so you can just get to the base of your lash and then apply it. I have stopped wearing mascara altogether, like probably the last 3 months.
Yeah. Kirby told me this the other day at dinner and I was like, what?
I know, because y'all know I love my mascaras and I like will still wear mascara. I'm obviously wearing it on my bottom lashes, but like anytime anybody has seen me in the last 3 months, I have been wearing an underlash.
And it looks so natural.
It does. It really looks natural. And there's a bunch of different varieties. So if you want like a super glam one, they have that.
That's the ones I'm wearing.
Kiss by far and away, Falsicara makes the most variety. So there's like the L curl, the D curl, the C curl. There's brown ones. There's ones that are like meant to be more feathery, ones that are natural, some are that are wispy. So they definitely have the most variety, but I've really also been enjoying Ardell. Mm. They make these little naked trios in a variety of lengths, and that's what I'm wearing right now. And I love, and I just filmed a video about it actually, which I'm excited.
Oh my God, I was going to say you need to film a video. So both my sisters who were like diehard lash extension girlies have now transitioned to these under eye lash extensions. There are some good ones from Amazon, apparently, that they really, really like.
Interesting. I need to take a look. I have an entire drawer now in my bathroom where you open it up and it's like Falsicara, Ardell, Swede. Swede makes these very tiny, tiny, tiny individual lashes that look beautiful, but it's because they're singles, they're not trios, it does take more time to really like create the look. But when you have the time, they look absolutely phenomenal.
Do you ever use the overnighters?
No, I haven't done the overnight yet. I'm a little nervous about that because my lashes, so I have also been using Swede's lash growth serum. It doesn't have a prostaglandin analog in it like a lot of these other lash growth products.
Okay.
And I have noticed a very distinct difference in the length and the thickness of my lashes, which I'm very excited about. Like I feel like the first time I put on mascara on my top lashes, I'm going to be freaking out at how long my lashes are because I truly think it's been working really great. However, honestly, I don't need them. I can get these on and 2 minutes flat. You know what I mean?
And then how often are you like, are you washing them or are you sort of just dumping and then using new ones?
No, I will like take my time removing them at night and then putting them back in the little case and then reapplying them. I probably get 4 or 5 uses out of them.
Because they also have like a solution to help clean, which I didn't know that they had.
Yes, there is one that you can buy. And they also have a solution also for removal. But for me, I've never had a problem with it like pulling out lashes.
Yeah, I would like just washed my face and they came off. And then I reapplied 2 of them today and it was no problem. It's kind of amazing.
Then also we have Impress, which is also an underlash brand, and they are a sponsor of this podcast, and we are so grateful. They also make a lot of great, beautiful options as well. So really, what I recommend is just go to whatever store, drugstore, Target, whatever, and look for the underlashes, and then play and have fun with them. There is a really cool innovation from Eylure called Ribbon Lash. Ooh. And it looks like a caterpillar in the packaging, but it's all one single lash. And you can cut it to make them trios or to make them lash strips that fit your exact eye shape.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. And the band is super thin, so they're perfect as underlashes as well. That's the key. You can really use any faux lash you have as long as the band is super, super thin.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why, like with the Falsghera ones, it's like a clear band. These are the individual ones that I bought, which, by the way, all of the lashes when I went to Walgreens had a lock on them.
Yeah. They're stealing these lashes.
Crazy.
I know. Wild. So Sarah's going to get her eyeball cut open and like be like a robot in a couple weeks.
I cannot wait to wake up and to be able to see, glance at the clock and see what time it is without going like this and trying to find my glasses. So I'll keep everyone posted. If you've had ICL before, tell me how your experience was.
My vision has gotten substantially worse in the last 6 months. So I understand. It really is like, oh shit, I can't even read my phone anymore. Like I'm like this, like holding my phone out to here.
Yeah. I don't mind like cute readers. Like I'm kind of excited for that, but like literally I without my contact lenses, I can't see up to here. Like it's that's insane. I'm blind.
I had no idea. By the way, did you know that blind as a bat is not true?
Oh, because bats have good vision?
Yeah. Bats apparently have substantially better vision than everyone. So when people say I'm blind as a bat, it actually means like I have incredible vision.
So what should we say?
If you have bad vision, be like, I'm as blind as Sarah Tan.
There you go.
I'm as blind as Sarah Tan.
You're welcome to use that.
Okay, y'all, this is a pretty big deal, and we need to talk about it. So if you follow Erin Parsons, she is this incredible makeup artist. We've had her on the pod, friend of the pod.
A makeup historian.
Truly, I trust this woman to like figure out like private investigator style stuff. Okay. Like she's crazy, but in a good way.
And then also so good at like explaining. It's like so enjoyable to watch her videos.
It's absolutely fabulous. So she did this video, I think a couple months ago, and she's like, friends, MAC Spice lip liner. If you know, you know, in the 90s, this was like the go-to liner. Everybody was obsessed with it. It was a complete game changer because it was this cool toned nude. She's like, they have changed the formula because MAC Spice now is not the same as MAC Spice in the 90s. And she just so happened to like procure three original MAC Spice products. Not that like MAC had them and sent them to her. Like
no.
She bought them off of like some type of
eBay.
Makeup historical, like yeah. She purchased them. Okay. So she shows everybody, she's like the one now, there's a place for it in the world, but it's warm. It's like orange. And then she busts out and she bought three because she wants to have like two for preservation purposes, but she put the one on and it is truly just like this absolutely stunning cool toned nude, complete mm-hmm. and utter game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not familiar with MOB, look up our interview with Vic Casale. He's one of the co-founders of MOB and he is the OG formulator of MAC Cosmetics. So basically like every single MAC cosmetic product that has a cult following that you've been using for decades or have heard about, he formulated it. And he's like, you know what? I actually have the formula for MAC Spice.
Because I made it.
Somewhere. Because I made it. And so MOB is coming out with their own version of this iconic lip color called M1990. So we figured, why not get the masterminds behind MOB on the podcast to give us all the tea on this? We are so, so excited. You've heard him before. Victor Casale is here, along with co-founder Alicia Gallagher, who we love dearly. And y'all, We are so excited about this. You have no idea how excited.
Hello, Kirby and Sarah. It's wonderful to be back.
Yes. And hey, y'all, we're so excited too. This is great.
Good. We're thrilled. You know, Vic, last time you were on this podcast, I was literally wearing like boxer shorts when, do you remember this?
I remember that. My goodness, I remember that. You were a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
We had so many technical difficulties during that episode. So thank you for coming back and trusting us this time.
Oh my God.
It was
That was fun.
That was the pandemic, man. Okay. So we've got to get into this. What made y'all decide to bring back Spice? I mean, this is this you think of Spice, you think of this iconic lip liner from the 90s that really did change the game. What made you guys want to bring it back?
Well, I'll jump in here and say that we, you know, we planned to launch into liners and we really listened to our community. And we have had so many requests for so long. So I just have to tell y'all, you can imagine how many requests that we get and Vic gets for bring back the blah, blah, blah shade. And that shade changed. So this had kind of been in the works for a while. And this 90s nostalgia has just been like banging, right? And this demand for cool tone liners. So it all was in the works. And the decision to launch was Spice. The color to begin with was like an homage to Vic. It was just like an homage to vintage Vic and this shade that has changed and so many people wanted. And there was such a groundswell on social and Reddit and everywhere for it.
I have to say, it's been one of the many requested vintage products that people have asked when I bump into them and they know my background. That color, among others, but that one specifically has been asked over and over, not just of me, but of my family, of people I worked with back in the day. They always tell me, yeah, people keep asking about that. Up until recently, you know, I was talking to someone saying, yeah, I was actually talking about it 2 weeks ago. And I thought, wow, 2 weeks ago, it's been like 25 years since the original, even close to the original color was out available. And people are still talking about it. I mean, that's amazing.
Can I ask a question? Why did Mac change the color, or why do colors change over time?
Well, that's a great question. That's something I've been dealing with my whole career. When we create a color, it takes a long time. You may have seen this in the lab. We try to show you behind the scenes of creating a shade, and something the smallest, you know, amount of red or brown changes it completely. So it's painstaking just to create a shade. Reproducing it is even harder because you're buying raw materials from suppliers. Suppliers have their batching processes. So sometimes if it's a natural product, like a natural wax, it's not exactly the same. If it's a pigment, naturally derived mineral, mined from a different place, it's not exactly the same. Chemically, it may be the same, but it doesn't behave the same. So when we're batching from batch to batch, we always keep a standard of the shade we created in the lab. You know, we call that our lab standard. Or our retain, we call it our retain. It's something we've retained and we match to it. Now, color is infinitesimal. So you don't actually ever get to the exact color. You just come as close as you can given the circumstances you're given, whether it's the raw materials, whether it's the size of the batch, time of year, you know, those things all take into account the color, the end color of the product. And then we make it. But, you know, if you have a bad day or there's, you know, somebody maybe wasn't paying attention that day, you may approve a color that isn't close enough and people notice it. And if you're not careful and you let this go on over and over again, over time, you'll eventually drift away from the original shade you created in the lab. 10 years go by, 15 years go by, that original shade in the lab now has changed because it just kind of slightly changes over time as it ages, like we do. And then you're stuck with a new sample or a new retaint that's a different color. So now you're matching every batch in the future to a different color. And that's how you end up drifting from the original shade over many years, or sometimes over a major slip up. In this case, it was a few. So here we are.
Listen, I feel like I love doing my hair, but it is very time consuming. Like you have to set aside a time. It affects my entire schedule. If I have work to do and then I want to go to the gym and then I need to take a shower, I don't know how the working mother does it, a la Sarah, but even for me as a singular woman with a dog, it's hard to find the time. But
you have to like work backwards. You're like, I have this event on Tuesday, which right. means I need to wash my hair on Monday night, which means then I have to do my workout that morning. It's just like, it's too much.
It is too much. But we are grateful for products that make it a little bit easier.
Yes. Okay. On the frizz front, which we know that I have been struggling because of these baby hairs that are sprouting out, I'm so grateful for Way's anti-frizz creme. It is a beautiful product. I have been using it and it's been saving me time because it does it all. It provides that immediate frizz control and it lasts for 72 hours, which is incredible. It helps reduce and repair my split ends. And according to Consumer Perception Study, which I am included in that, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. There's tons of other Way products that we are devoted to.
Put a dollar in the jar every time I talk about the detox shampoo. That is the best shampoo of all time.
You should put your face on it, like a no, sticker on it, because I do think of you when I use it.
I love it. It's thick. You don't need a lot of it. You lather it up nicely in your palm. You put it on your head. It makes your hair clean, your scalp clean, but it's not too clean feeling, which, yep. you know, I don't want it to feel like squeaky clean. That's not the vibe I'm trying to get off.
Exactly. So pick up that shampoo, pick up the anti-frizz creme and get 15% off. So go to theway.com, that's theouai.com and enter promo code GLOSS for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code GLOSS.
And I mean, the shade has been around for decades, so I feel like it could... At this point, it's like, yeah, it makes sense that now it's way warmer than it was intended. I also was curious, when y'all were coming up with the name for this color, what were you thinking of? Because when I think of spice, I think of warmth. And I'm like, oh, maybe they made it more warm so that it fits the name better. But like, why would they change an iconic color? You know what I mean? Vic, do you remember why you guys named it spice?
Yeah, well, there's one thing you said in the question I just want to... The color spice, so the actual shade we launched in 1990 has not been around for probably 30 years. So when you say the word spice, you actually mean the name that's been used to identify that particular shade of that pencil. But the shade itself has disappeared for over 30 years. So it's evolved from when it was launched. And the name spice was always given to that shade, even though it became significantly different than what it was launched as. Okay. And so I just want to clarify that. So spice, people, our M1990 that we recreated by reverse aging a 34-year-old sample was to recreate the actual shade we launched, like the actual shade that we launched, that was beloved, that was that cool neutral tone that wasn't available. Everything was pink back then, and everyone fell in love with it and created that look. That changed, that evolved, and it kept evolving to a point where you didn't even recognize it anymore. You couldn't even put it in the same family as a neutral cool tone. It's more like a pumpkin spice color, but the name stayed, but the color changed. Just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, that's important, because I just thought that the formula had gotten skewed over the and that it was always supposed to be this one shade. But then over time, it skewed. Instead, it was intentionally changed. Is that what you're saying?
No, it was unintentionally changed, but it was never corrected. It was never brought back to the original shade. And when it drifted, you know, the name is like you started the conversation by saying that word, that name, everybody knows it. So why change it, even if the color changes? There's a little, I want to say, controversy there, maybe, but that's what happened. When you say spice, you have to ask what 5-year period are you talking about over the last 30 years? And then there's a shade identified with that 5-year period, 3 to 5-year period. What we're doing is we're taking it back to when we launched it, the one that was named spice for the actual color it is.
So tell us how you did this. You had a sample of the OG and you needed to figure out how to recreate it. How do you even go about doing that?
Well, you know, we scientists, we like to keep our records and things like that. Okay. You know, in me, there was this desire to bring that shape back because I'd been asked, me and, you know, my family members at Mac had been asked for so long. And we were a little disappointed because, you know, we weren't at the helm of that company after we sold it to Estee Lauder. So, you know, we couldn't do anything about it. Me as a chemist, I know what happens. If a color drips for one batch, you fix it on the next one. So you get back on track. You know, you kind of, you veer off the road, get back on the road. That didn't happen. So when we decided, I thought, well, you know what? I can do this. I'm passionate about everything I do. This was an extra passion book because, you know, I know that there was something special that was launched. It really identified a decade for lip liners and we wanted to bring it back, but we just didn't want to color match any version of Spice that evolved over the last 30 years, as I explained to you. I wanted to create the shape. So how did we do it? Well, we have boxes of stuff that I've moved a few times over. So I went through everything. I just dug up stuff and I found my high school yearbooks, by the way, in the process. And I did, because, you know, I didn't know where they were. And, you know, in the same area, I found lab books from my time, the early years at Mac. And I have lab books that date back from 1986 all the way through 1993 or something like that. This one is a 2-year period from 88 to 90, this particular lab book. But we keep stuff. So I have a 34-year-old, you can see it here. I mean, everything's worn off. It's been bumped. And these are the things we keep in the lab. And after they get to a certain length, we replace them with a new one. But anyway, this is a 34-year-old version of the original shade that we had launched when we launched the Spice Pencil. But this shade is not what we launched. This has changed. And I'll tell you about that. This is not the same shade. Again, just like we age and we change, pigments and formulas do as well. You know, the product is made with oils and waxes and pigments, and it's put in a wooden cased pencil. Okay. So pigments over time will change slightly. Having been in the industry for a number of years, we keep track of that. Most big companies do. They keep track of how pigments change over time. So when they're doing things, they know this is going to change a little bit. We know what's going to happen. We'll take that into account. So I know that. So I know how the pigments change over time. Secondly, the waxes are actually absorbing and the oils are breaking down a little bit. You know, it's a 30-year-old vegetable oil and natural waxes. I mean, they're breaking down a little, not completely, but they're absorbing into the wood casing. And when they absorb into the wood casing, the pigments get drier. When the pigments get drier, they change color. And, you know, we know this. We all know this. For example, if you spill some water on your blue jeans, wherever your water spilled, it gets darker blue, right? Actually, the worst is when you spill like a vegetable oil on your blue jeans. Then it doesn't, like sometimes it doesn't even go away. You see like a dark blue spot and then you see a lighter spot around it. That's exactly what happens in makeup. You formulate a product. It has a certain amount of oil and water in it. You color match it. If you add more water to it or remove more water from it, if you add more oil or remove oil, the color changes. A lot of people refer to that as oxidizing. It's not actually oxidizing. Oxidizing is a chemical reaction. The pigments do change sometimes just by being in and around air, but they don't change that much. It's really the amount of oil or water that's on the pigment that makes a change. So that changed this sample. One of the comments I had made is that if you have a 30-year-old Mac Spice pencil, say from the late 1990s to the 2000s, it's not the color we launched. First of all, it drifted, and I know it did. Secondly, that color is not the same color it was 30 years prior when it was made. The color itself has changed. So we didn't just match an old color that had changed. We actually went through the painstaking process of reverse aging it. And what does that mean? Well, we gave it back some pigments that faded, and we put back some more oil into the color that was leached out into the wood. The color that was resulted is M1990. That's the color we've launched. So it's not as simple as just, oh, here's a pencil, let me just match it. No, we have to undo what time has done to it. And that's what we did.
Well, and you also have your lab book, Vic. I mean, you've got the lab book. You've got the formula.
Yeah, actually, you know, also, okay, this is really cool. I'm not going to show you everything here because it's got a lot of cool stuff. You know, as I was going through this book, I came across a couple of things. I'll just, you know, I'll entertain you for a little bit, but.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to say, you must keep these in like a vault somewhere.
Well, they were actually in a fire safe at the time, just because we were told to put things in a fire safe in case there was a problem. But anyway, there's this one formula here circled in red. I'm not going to sew for too long, but Russian red, December 8, 1988. That's when I logged it into my lab book. There's Mac Red, which I think is still selling. Mac Red was November 5th, 1988.
Wow. Almost as old as me and Sarah.
Oh, there you
Cute.
Go.
Cute.
Vic, you're aging yourself.
But oh, my God. Does, I know. I don't care.
I also want to jump in here and say that he does not keep those things in a fire vault anymore. I walk around and be like, Vic, why do you just have something like this, like, laying just wherever? Like,
anyway, when I found them, of course, I took them out. So normally when we work on lip liners, Frank Toskin, who is the creative genius and founder of MAC, I mean, I worked next to him and took his direction on what shades he wanted. So I would keep notes and we would make a lip, usually a satin lipstick of a lip liner. And then we would approve it, test it. And then we would send it off to get made into a lip pencil in Germany. That's the way we did it. And this was actually the formula, the color formula to make the shade. And this is dated the 14th of October, 1989. And it was for launch in the spring of 1990. And so that's when Spice was launched. So I, you know, I kind of have the color formula book here. I have the sample that with an extensive knowledge of how things change over time, we reverse aged it by giving the sample more emolliency, putting a little color back into it. And voila, we got back to the exact shade we launched in 1990.
Okay, so that actually explains Erin Parsons' video. I know that you guys sent her the M1990 to play with, and she had her original MAC Spice, but potentially not the actual original color A, and B, things shift over time. And so she had done like a side-by-side of M1990 with the Spice. It wasn't an exact color match. And she did say like the pigments could have shifted or whatever. But I also think the most important aspect of that is that she potentially did not have the one from 1990. She potentially had a Spice from mid-90s, late-90s that could have had the pigment shift, right?
Exactly. And just to clarify, I saw in the video her, by the way, she's fantastic. I love
her. We love her. We love her.
I love her because I get so excited about history and doing things, and she just serves it up and in a very amazing way. So thank you, Erin. Anyway, I saw her pencils, and I know that the silver-coated barrel came out in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think it was a millennium thing. And so those were already 10 years away from the launch of the pencil. They had already drifted. The shades were already getting darker, blacker. It wasn't what we had launched, that nice, neutral, kind of perfect nude and cool nude. And there's that. Even if it was the exact a pencil from 1990 or 1991, it would look different than the one we created because we recreated the exact shade. So we reverse aged it. So like I said, we didn't just pick up something and color match it. We had to bring it back to what it truly was when it was made.
Alicia, I'm curious, what other products does MOB get asked to bring back in a way? I think that you guys have such a unique point of difference with your brand in that you do have these veterans as co-founders in the industry, right? And so you guys know what's old is new again. You've really seen it all. Is there a personal product that you would like to revive? Or is there a product outside of Spice that you've been getting a lot of demand for?
I could give a laundry list. I mean, we just had one of our friend creators in the lab in Toronto recently, Miss Megan Robinson, and she was like, I have to have Folio lipstick from MAC. And so we just whipped it up. You know, Vic was like, I can do this, right? And just for funsies and to send her home with it. I mean, obviously we get a lot of requests for old MAC shades just because everybody knows the history here. but we get requests for everything. I mean, I had a girl come up to me at Namie's in LA asking for an old Revlon shade, you know, so it just runs the gamut. And sometimes it's really iconic things, you know, like the Old Spice color. And sometimes it's just personal favorites that have drifted. But, you know, we're just with our community so much, Kirby, and we're in the lab with our community so much that people come in with you name it. But it's really fun and exciting. You know, we don't always launch the things that we make, but even if we can make something just to make somebody's day, right, and have fun and recreate icons and old favorites, it's so fun.
One thing I want to just add to that, and this is the fun part, being, you know, a formulator, a product developer, I get really excited, like really excited when I'm standing next to the creator who has the vision, who has like a swatch, who has a paint chip, and they're thinking, this is what I want. We have many creators that we work with that come in with a vintage retro something. You know, they think that's what they want because they love it. But then on the way to matching that shade, they make it their own. They give it a little extra red. They take away something. They add something. And they think, oh my goodness, I love this better. So there's a lot of inspiration out there. Like in music, you get inspired by a certain song. But there's always new content and, you know, new colors coming along that people really want. And we give them the ability to experience it and to create it. And, you know, so they can see what actually happens in the process and feel the emotion, because it is emotional. You know, you listen to a good song or you put on a good shade. That's why we get asked for a lot of things that discontinued. You know, it becomes somebody's favorite and then all of a sudden it's gone. And it's like, oh my goodness, what happened to that? I can't wear it anymore, you know?
Well, we're thrilled. What is the next liner? This is the first foray into lip liners. So what can we expect next? Do y'all have anything in mind? Are you even working on anything, or is it just kind of when inspiration strikes?
We've already got other lip liner shades in production. So, and we are taking, and now that we have let this cat out of the bag, the requests are pouring in. Like,
oh my goodness.
Like Vic, we need like, you know, a box of like crayons, I think, at this point. But yes, so by summertime, we're going to be launching additional shades, and we're really excited about it. And we're just so excited about the formula. And we're getting such great feedback about the formula as well.
I'd love to tell you about the formula if you want to ask me.
Tell us about the formula, Vic.
I want to tell you just because there's been an evolution in our industry, and we need to kind of encourage it more. And the more we talk about it, like anything that's potentially an issue, the more you talk about it, the better, you know, we know better, we do better. It, you know, pencils are unique in that, you know, you want them to be dry, you want them to be pigmented, you want them to have a nice slip, despite the fact that they're kind of hard and dry. So you don't want them to be like a wax crayon, you know, that's like, you know, it just wouldn't work on your lip. So given that, a lot of the industry has used plastic, like ground up polyethylene, like ground up water bottles, polyethylene microparticles, and they put that in the formula to give it that slip and that dryness. Well, of course, those don't break down. They end up in our waterways, and we know the problem. You know, I don't have to explain it. That's something that needs to stop, because a lot of products are still like that. Silicones are something that came out 40 years ago. They provided slip, and they provided, you know, these really cool, unique sensory feelings. The issue is these things, they're pretty stable. They last for a long time. So the more they've been used, the more we're finding them everywhere, the more they linger, and, you know, the industry needs to stop using them. This is a modern formula, a modern formula made with naturally sustainable raw materials. They all biodegrade. There's no plastics. There's no silicones. I'm really excited about it. I mean, Alicia can tell you about how it works and how it applies, but on the formulation side, it's really taking back, you know, where we should have been in the industry and formulating, and, you know, getting back to true, use the word natural, but at least sustainable, naturally derived raw materials that don't last forever. And we've done it in this formula. No plastic is used at all in the formula or in the casing. It's an aluminum cap. Aluminum's highly recyclable material. We were thoughtful about this formula, and we really wanted to lead the way and say, look, we can have a professional, long-lasting, waterproof formula that doesn't have to have all this other stuff in it.
Amazing. Alicia, did you want to add anything to that?
I just think it's great. It's got a beautiful glide. I mean, you know, it's a wooden pencil, so you can get a really sharp point. And I think it's just that right in that fine spot of being able to really get a precise line, but you can also glide it and fill in your whole lip with it. And the fact that it's waterproof and all natural is unbelievable. I mean, it's just like, this is the best lip liner I think that could be made today in terms of like performance and, you know, conscious formulation and sustainable formulation. So far, the feedback from our community has been outstanding. So we're really excited.
Amazing. So where can everybody get M1990 and when?
So we are launching on mobbeauty.com on Wednesday, April 17th. And then we will be launching on Credo stores and .com on April 30th and Beautylish right around that time as well.
Thank you everyone for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.